charity of choice is to buy me lunch. Just kidding. Yeah, I on this board out there, do me a favor. In the Church of Nazarene, we used to have a thing called Faith Promise. Any of you old people remember Faith Promise? Anybody? And so what we would do is you just kind of step out in faith. And this is what I want you to do. Take one of those cards, put it on your mirror, and pray that God will give you the cash to pay that off. Amen? Just let's clean that board because I ain't putting it back out again. No, sir. Don't love y'all that much. But I need prayer tomorrow night. I want to be the lifeguard for the camp, okay? And I'm an okay swimmer, but they want me to swim 10 laps. Now, I don't know whether that's straight. If it's straight, I'm not even going to bother to do it because I ain't swimming no 10 laps. I did that right now. But I could swim a lap, suck in a little bit, go. You know, but pray for me. If I'm supposed to do it, I'll do it. That's great. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about fighting. Nobody ever thinks I don't go to church to talk about fighting. Well, get over it. Because if we don't learn to fight, we're gonna lose. Like it or not, you're in a fight. Okay, if your marriage is a struggle, you're in a fight. If your children are battling, you're in a fight. Okay, if you're financially strapped, you're in a fight. Okay, if you're struggling emotionally or mentally, you're in a fight. It's not, well, I've got, okay, stop. That means that the evil one is attacking that area of your life. Time to fight. Okay, understand, you got all the power, you got all the strength you'll need, and we'll be talking about it today, but you got to decide to fight. You got to get it. Well, I've got this. Well, stop getting this. Well, the doctor, I don't give a care what the doctor says. I'm not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-counselor. Let me tell you when I am anti-counselor is when they tell you, you got this, and the rest of your life you decide, I've got this. Stop. I've got a God who rose from the grave, and he could set you free from that. Amen? Amen? See, I'm not goofy. I'm not anti-science. You know, I don't know much about science because I'm not that bright, but, you know, I'm not. Let me tell you what I am. I have a miracle-working God, and I'm into praying that he does awesome and mighty and powerful things in every person's life. If you come up against something during the week, do not hesitate to call Jen or text me and say, please pray for me, Pastor. I'm battling this. If you're getting whooped at something, please pray for me, Pastor. I am absolutely getting whooped in this area of my life. And kids, you don't have to get whooped. Amen. You don't have to get whooped. Amen. You don't have to get whooped. Amen. Let me tell you the people I worry about the most, the people who have been around the church for 472 years, we get complacent with getting whoopings. Enough. Enough. The thing we've got to worry about is too often we're battling against things that we think we can see, we can touch. I want you to understand something. The greatest struggle we have is the fact that we think we're battling here. Yep. It's not here. I hear all this fighting over Trump and Biden and all that kind of stuff. Listen, love them, pray for their salvation. Bottom line is, they don't even know who they are. They don't even know what they're doing. The bottom line is there is a prince of this world and he is absolutely, they are his pawn. We go, oh, I hate Biden. I hate Trump. Stop. As a Christian, you don't hate anybody. Amen. You understand? It's not about this. It's not here. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle, your fight, are you listening to me? Your fight, whatever it is not against flesh and blood. You got to understand, you're a real enemy. You can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch. The bottom line is, it isn't something that you can actually deal with in the flesh. Are you with me? Are you with me? You got to hear this. It's not against flesh and blood. Now, remember these names because they'll be back up in a bit. But against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness. And see, when I say world forces, I'm not even talking about the Davos and the communists. I'm talking the Davos and the communists, they're just a bunch of billionaires that want to rule the world. You got to understand, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know who they are. They don't even know how to spell their name, because the one that's in charge of them is doing things through them that they don't even realize what's going on. Okay? They don't have a clue. You know, and you that, I like communism because Bernie Sanders. Communists make Hitler look like a sissy. You got to get this. Communism is no joke, man. Communism is evil. You know what communism goes after first? Your church. Comes right after your church, and it's going on right now. You know, now crazies like me, I look forward to the scrap. But the bottom line is, they're coming after your church. They're coming after you, your parents. When you send your child off to college, they're trying to separate your child from you. And it's all part of this same scheme. And you got to understand, it's not something you can deal with. It's only something he can deal with. Our fight's not against flesh and blood or spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly. That's what it is. It's principalities and powers of darkness and evil that are trying to separate. They're trying to destroy. Listen, these things will take any area of your life that you will give them. Did everybody hear what I just said? See, a lot of people, you know, Satan doesn't take anything. You give it to him. Please hear me. This is important. There's a lot of folks that think, well, you know, it's this person, it's that person. No. We say, okay, here's a foothold. Take it. And then we whine and we gripe. And we grouse, and we sit around, and we tell everybody how bad things are, and then we wonder why Satan owns us, because we've given ourselves to him. Are you with me? Yes. All right? Powerful stuff. Amen? Amen? Powerful stuff. And we've got to know who our struggle is against. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Powerful stuff. Wait till you hear this. If you don't get excited, listen, you should get a lot more excited about this than the fact that 76ers might win the championship. Amen. Okay? Some of you are like, I don't watch basketball. Okay, whatever. When the flower show comes, I don't care. You know? But folks, we really should get excited about God. Amen. We really should. This is saving your life. This is saving your family. This is saving your kids. This is saving the people around you. This is salvation. This is power. Paul says to the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened and opened so that you can actually spiritually see. Remember, we're not talking about the physical here. We're talking about the spiritual. It's spiritual, emotional. It's spiritual, psychological. It's spiritual, that the eyes of your heart will be open so that you can see, so that you will know. Now listen to this. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? I'm looking forward to that because I ain't got no rich uncles. Anybody here got a rich uncle I can have? I need a trust fund. You know, I don't have any of that. But one of these days, I'm going to have a trust fund like these trust fund babies have never seen before. Yep. Amen? Are you with me? You got to understand, this is for you. This is for you. And what, listen, oh, listen to this. And what is the surpassing, overwhelming, awesome greatness of his power toward us who believe? I'll say it again because y'all must have missed that. What is the surpassing, overwhelming, awesome, oh my goodness, greatness of his power, dynamite, toward us who believe?
Amen.
Well, three of you believe it. No, I'm serious. You better get this one. Because I promise you, the evil one is amassing all the power and all the wisdom and everything he can get to destroy you. Why would we Christians kind of sit there and go, well, okay, you know? No. This is a power that we cannot actually understand and articulate. And I'm telling you right now, I believe a great predominance of those who call themselves Christians don't believe in it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We know about it, but I don't know how much we believe in it. Okay? These are in accordance with the working, the ergonomics of the strength of his might, which he brought about. Now listen, this is equating what he's pouring out on and in us, pouring out on and in you, if you let him.
Amen.
I wake up looking for this. I wake up looking for this power. I wake up looking for this wisdom because I'm not very bright and I'm not very strong. But with him, I could do all things.
Amen.
You know? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
So what he's saying is the resurrection, glory, and power of God, he's pouring into you. Are you letting him? Are you claiming it? Are you saying, okay, I got it. Now let's go do some whooping of our own.
Amen.
Let's go out here and in the name of Jesus Christ, impact every person in my world.
Yes.
Every person in my life. Every person at my work. Every person wherever I might be. Amen?
Amen.
This is so, so very important. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. Now, listen here. I told you, remember those names. Remember them names? Now, first I want to say, it says far above. Say it with me. Far above. He ain't equal to these powers that we see in the newspaper. He could thump them like nothing. He is far above.
Amen.
Far above.
Amen.
I'm trying to see if anybody's hearing me. Just smile or something. Say, shake your head, go, yee-haw, whatever. All right? Far above all rule. Far above all powers. Far above all authorities. And I want you to hear this one. Far above everything that might ever dominate your life.
Amen.
I am so tired of hearing people tell me, well, you know, there is that area. That's because you choose to leave that area out of the center of God's power. Pastor, you're being awful harsh. Am I? Let me ask you something. If you had bills of a couple mil, and I gave you a big old pile of cash of 5 million, and you didn't use it, I'm going to do this on my own. People would think you were an idiot. Right? I got $2 million worth of bills. I don't know what. Well, you got a pile of cash of $5 million.
Yes.
What's wrong with you? That's what I'm saying today. I'm not calling you an idiot. Seriously. What Jesus Christ did on the cross and in the resurrection and in the sending of his Holy Spirit is a $5 million big old fat load of cash.
Amen.
To pay all the bills, to pay all, for all the sin, to give us conquering power no matter what it is. Are you with me? See, I'm tired of powerless church. I'm tired of no miracle church. I'm done with all that. The bottom line is, God absolutely wants to reach down underneath you and raise you up to be everything and all, because he is above all the things that could keep you from being that.
Amen.
Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. In other words, ain't gonna run out.
Amen.
That big old pile of cash can be restored.
Yes.
Let me tell you a story. Some of you have been around for a while, you've heard it. When COVID came down and we were sent home, we have about at that time, I think it was somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 payroll every other week. You have to understand, when I got home and I actually thought about this, I was going, ruh-roh. No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I may be able to come up with a couple of payrolls, but the bottom line is after that, you people are going to be broke, you know? Before my feet, I woke up about 3 a.m, and you probably, some of you have heard this. And if you're online, you need to listen. This is the truth. I wouldn't tell nothing but the truth, you know what I'm saying? Before my feet hit the floor, God told me, I got this. I have no idea that the government gave out money, but it didn't give out money till like June. This is March. All right, I have no idea where 5 or 6 or 7, I can't remember exactly what the number was. I have no idea where that money came from. But you could ask anybody that worked here. Not one person missed $1 or 1 minute of their pay because God got that. There ain't nothing in your life that God ain't got. If you let him get it. Everybody hear what I'm saying? See, so often once you say that, you're toast. You have to, in the middle of smack yourself in the face and say, no, my God got this. My God got this. No matter what it is. I mean, we're talking $500,000. And believe you me, this church and this school ain't loaded. All right? But God is. God is. And he put all things, say it with me, all things, in subjection under his feet. And gave him as head over all things. All things. To the church. Which is his body. I love this part. The fullness of him who fills all in all.
Amen.
Don't ever tell me you're not enough. Don't ever tell me, I hate this. Well, we're just a little church. This little church is kicking butt.
Amen.
little church, we've absolutely done great and mighty and miraculous things, and we will continue to. Yes. Understand, not because of, I hear people, well, you, they got nothing to do with John Letterman. He is a goober. Go ahead, say amen. I know you want to. But God ain't. God, you think that's funny? But y'all know it's true. I'm nothing. He's above all. Amen. He's all in all. He's the fullness of all in all. And he pours that out on his church, yes. Us.
Thank you, Lord.
Ready for it? There's a story, and I love it. You've probably heard of Elijah. Okay, that's my grandson. No, I'm just kidding. But Elijah was a great, great, great prophet, and there's some great stories with that, and I don't have time this morning to talk about him. But his protege was a man named Elisha. And Elisha, I love what he said to Elijah. Elijah was sending him home. He said, "I ain't going home. You've lost your mind." He said, "I ain't leaving here till I get a double portion of what you got." I'm into that double portion stuff. I'm sorry. As you can tell, I'm a very greedy person. Okay? And the bottom line is, that's what he laid on him. He anointed him, gave him a double portion of what Elijah had. You know? And I'm going to be honest, every day I'm asking for a double portion of what Elisha had. So I'm quadruple Elijah. I like that. And Elisha has this secretary or helper or whatever, servant or whatever they call it. And he says, go on outside when the servants, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and 17. When the servant of the man, Elijah, of God, got up and went out early the next morning. Now, Elisha had ticked off a king. I'm going to be honest. We prophets love to tick off kings.
Amen.
No, I'm serious. I get a kick out of that.
Yep.
If you think you're somebody, I get a kick out of bringing you down. That's just who we are. You know, don't mean to be mean. Don't mean to be ugly. Just, yeah, you put your clothes on the same way I do. Knock it off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He ticked off a king, and his servant, secretary, whatever it was, went out the next morning, and the king had sent an army with horses and chariots, and they had surrounded the city Elisha was in. And he went back inside, and he says, "Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do?" The servant asked Elisha, and Elisha looked at him and said, "Oh, don't be afraid." Remember that old show? What you talking about, Willis? Now, today, everybody calls everybody by the first letter. This is Elisha. So he would have said, "What you talking about, E?" That was hard for me to put together. You know what I'm saying? So somebody laugh. All right? And he looked at him and said, "What in the world are you talking about? Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them."
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Are you the secretary or the servant, or are you the prophet? See, this is very important to ask yourself. When people are around me, are they getting Elisha type of encouragement and vision, or are they getting, "Well, yeah, we got a problem"? You see, this is very important. I don't know about you, but sometimes my spouse needs me to be the man. Amen? Sometimes my spouse, my wife, you know what I'm saying. And the bottom line is, I need to be that person. We need to be that person. We need to be the man or woman that absolutely are so prepared for whatever comes at us that when people come to us and say, "We in a big heap of trouble now, boy," we look at them and say, "We ain't got nothing to worry about." Are you that person?
Amen.
You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you become that person?" You get up in the morning and you take the Bible or the Bible, whichever you use, I don't really care, okay, in one hand, and you're on your knees. Now, for me, it's usually about 4 a.m. So there's the Bible on my knees praying and a cup of coffee.
Amen.
I'm not really good in the morning without a cup of coffee, you know? But I'm in the book. I'm praying and I'm taking a sip. I'm in the book and I'm praying and I'm taking a sip. I'm in the book and I'm praying and I'm taking a sip. If you want to be that person for every person around you, that when they come to you and say, man, I don't know what to do, man. Man, there's an army outside. They're about to put a whooping on us. We can look at them and say, no, don't worry about it. Those who are with us are greater than them or those who are with them.
Amen.
Romans says, if God be for us, finish it for me. Who can be against us?
Yes.
Have you made a decision today? That's who I want to be.
Yes.
That's who I want to be. When people at work know that they got problems, I want them to know where to go. Me. Don't sit, oh, well, don't talk to me. Talk to Jesus. Stop it. You need to become that man or you need to become that woman.
Yep.
This is important. This is important. Well, I've only been in the church a week. Usually you're more effective than we that have been in the church for 500 years.
Amen.
Seriously, this is for you. You can be this.
Yes.
You really can. I love this. Elijah prayed, open his eyes that he might see. Actually, he's talking about the eyes of his heart and his mind and his soul. The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked. I love this. Get ready for this. This is like, oh yeah, you know. Oh, you know, this is important, you know. Opened his eyes, he looked and saw the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Amen.
Let me help you with something. When you have bills, go out and ask God to open your eyes.
Yes.
Because I don't know where exactly it is, but there's a big old wad of cash out there.
Yes.
If you've got marital problems, there's somebody you can talk to by the power of God and you could put this thing back together. The bottom line is, no matter what the struggle is, the army and the ability is there.
Yes. Amen.
It's there. It's there.
Yes.
Ask God to open your eyes.
Amen.
Well, how do I do that opening eyes thing? And that comes in my last verse in John chapter 3, verse 3. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again by God from above.
Amen.
Tired of just seeing the problem? Tired of just seeing the issues? Tired of just seeing the enemy? Tired of just seeing the struggles? Tired of just seeing the pain? Tired of just seeing? Allow God to come into the very center of who you are. The very center of your mind, the very center of your soul, the very center of your being, the very center of your psyche. And he absolutely will help you to be able to see that those coming against you are nothing to the one that is for you. Let's stand. Let's stand. Kids, come on up. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Pastor, I want to decide today, no more, no more, am I going to be defeated by the garbage of this world, the enemies of this world. No more. I'm going to allow God into the center of my being, the center of my heart. I want to be able to see the kingdom of God. I want to be able to see the angels and the chariots that are there to put a whooping on those that are coming at me. Amen? You see, this is a decision you make by the grace of God, the power of God, the strength of God, who will give you the ability to say yes. Yes. This is a great day. This is a great day. Some might say, well, I'm not sure what that altar thing is, but I'm going to go down there and I'm going to get this right. Because I am tired of being whooped. I am tired of being defeated. I am tired of feeling like I'm always second. I'm tired of feeling like I'm never going to get on top. Some might say, you know what? I don't know about this altar thing, but I am making that decision today. Because I want to be that man, or I want to be that woman that everybody knows when they see the army that's coming at us, they know who to go to. They know to go to me because I have spent time on my knees in the Word, praying, allowing God to so build me up inwardly. So that when I wake up, when the battle comes, instead of looking at the enemy and instead of looking at the army and instead of looking at the habits and instead of looking at the addictions, I know who to look to.
Right. Amen.
And he absolutely has the power to make me victorious. Welcome to these altars, however we, and then I'll ask JC to pray.